and welcome to In-Game Chat for October the 6th, 2008, the official podcast of colonyofgamers.com. Scott here with you again. It's, it is October the 6th. We're just about to jump into a massive fall gaming season here, and we've got the full crew in here, the entire crew in here with us tonight. Jeremy is here.
Hey.
Just back from getting married. Daniel is here. Dennis. Yay.
Hello.
James, we've got Dana, and we've got Sam, and John?
John.
I knew it was John, yes.
We have an entourage.
Yes. We have lots of people in here.
Our fanboys. Roadies.
Yeah.
And Dana, your mic is on, so anytime you want to just talk, just turn it on in there and speak your piece. Anyway, I am still very much sick. So I'm going to turn it over to these guys. I opened with the BioShock music because I know.
I can tell you that that part works just fine in the PS3
music.
Demo. The music sounded okay.
Music, great.
It was about the only thing that was, in my opinion, that worked as well as it did on the 360. It was really bad. I don't think anybody else played that, but I checked that out today. Did you see the comparison shots?
I did. Did you see the complaints? I didn't know how much merit to give that.
No, it's a completely meritorious thing. Very, very blur filtered over just about everything. The frame rate was not very good. It was right at adequate, but not good. And some of the textures used in a couple of places, specifically the probably soon to be infamous Big Daddy texture comparison shot, really like conjured up pictures of old PS1 like texture maps for me. It was that pixelated, it was that poorly rendered. I don't know what the problem was there. And in the I believe it was recognized and the mistake was owned by the third party who made the port, which was, who does anybody have that name pulled up at the moment? I can't remember. I was looking at it specifically when I was playing the demo today, but they apparently owned the mistake, but didn't make any indication that, that'll be fixed pretty soon. It was just like, yeah, you're right. That's not great. Everything else is great. So it was one of those things. Unfortunately, I don't know for sure, but it really does look like that demographic of gamers who did not play the game on any other platform, only on a PS3, and who are looking forward to it, it really looks like they're about to deliver a somewhat subpar product. At least graphically. I thought it looked really really muddy, really blurry, really low res. There are a lot of level of detail issues, like a forced LOD clipping plane that seemed to cause a number of problems in a few areas. Like specifically, you know, the demo portion when you, like, right after you first jam the first needle into your arm, that whole thing, and you wake up and you've got you've got the little shocky hand business, and you're supposed to, like, open the doorway with, like, that whole door, which was, like, that whole entire wall, which was, like, 20 feet away from me, was, like, blurred and unrecognizable. Like, I couldn't make out any of the details on it until I, like, walked right up on it, and then the LOD changed, and, you know, everything kind of worked the way it was supposed to, so I didn't want it to be bad, but it doesn't really look that good. I don't think it's going to be unplayable. I played the rest of the demo, and it seemed to be okay, but it's not an especially high-quality port.
You did do a comparison, though.
I had it on the 360, and yeah. I had it on the PS3, and I did the little back-and-forth
switcher
business. And it was much clearer and much nicer on the 360, especially if you, you know, after it was patched up on the 360 to have the wider field of view angle available, because that was in the PS3 version. And that actually did look a little bit different in some of the cutscenes. I don't know what that difference was, but regardless, I couldn't see anything different other than some of the visual problems that people were talking about. I don't think it'll be unplayable, but it's a shame that it doesn't look at least as good as the versions that came before it. So yeah.
Yeah. All right.
So where are we at? We're coming off a pretty busy weekend. Normally we'd be talking about all the amazing things we played. Since we sent you our last action-packed hour on
Friday.
There's
a lot of things I wanted to play.
Yeah, there was a lot of things that needed to be done. We should recognize, though, that we have, you know, one fewer actual free, solid you know, Bachelor Man going on in the studio. One more person has succumbed.
Well, you know what I, you know what though, now you say that, but the number of married men now outnumbers the
It does now outnumber.
That's true.
That's true.
Y'all better watch your mouths.
I don't know how to do that.
So I was about to say.
I'm sorry.
Scott better watch his mouth.
That's always been a bit of a problem for me. But yes, we're referring, of course, to
your sleep.
The fact that Jeremy tied the knot this weekend, finally.
Saturday.
So, yeah, I'm surprised he's here.
48 hours ago.
Almost didn't happen today, like officially. Because they brought the marriage certificate by, which is the only way that you can be married.
Well, we should point out also for people that do not know and who have not followed the thread on our sub forum at Colony of Gainers that Scott officiated. Scott is ordained through one of those magical internet churches.
Isn't that awesome?
Hey, so am I.
Man, I got to start the magicalinternetchurch.com.
Right.
Now.
You know, that was one of the things, because I'd have some of your parents or some of Becky's parents come up and say, oh, where'd you ordain from? And I never would put .com at the end of anything said.
We're a broadcast from Alabama, by the way. Yeah. People from Alabama don't so much really want to hear that the guy that's marrying their kids is ordained on the magic interwebs.
So he brings his marriage certificate by. Actually, Becky does. And this is the only way it's official is if I sign that. Like, the thing we did yesterday has absolutely no meaning whatsoever legally from the state.
Hey, you can totally get, like, a clown to do it or whatever. It doesn't matter. Like, it has no... Yeah, that stuff doesn't matter at all. You just need, like...
Yeah, state doesn't care about your stupid little ceremony.
Yeah, they really don't.
They want somebody moderately official to sign a piece of paper.
Yeah. So, she brings it by, I sign it, and then she's like, uh-oh, because I signed it in blue ink, it was supposed to be in black ink.
Yeah, apparently they won't accept it if it's signed in blue ink.
Yeah, I don't understand that. I had an English teacher like that once. I totally did. She was completely
well, apparently
that way.
She now works for the
They can't file it if it's blue ink.
I don't know what that's about.
I guess
about.
It corrupts all the other marriage licenses or something.
Blue's the color of the devil.
Okay.
That's what it is.
Blue devil.
The blue devil.
Yeah, so they're married, and that took all day.
But
Saturday,
now it's official.
So I didn't get
it's
to play
official.
Anything.
They did what?
Yeah.
So what did you play this weekend?
I played Uncharted.
You finally sat down and played some Uncharted.
Yeah.
That's really good. How far did you get? What are you doing?
Let's see. There are a lot of bad guys in that game. Say that. They just seem to pour out from everywhere.
Well, they totally did.
I like a lot of bad guys. Like, Now, in your opinion, is that like a detriment or just an observation?
It was a detriment for me. It seemed to me there were probably about, if in any given place, 2 to 3 times as many bad guys as there should have been. It would stop being fun. I'm like, okay, I'm done with this. I want to move on to the next part.
I'm tired of sitting behind this one crate.
I'd take 5 steps ahead after killing 15 guys and be like, there he is! And I have to run back behind the same spot I was just at.
Yeah.
That was one of the few, like, legitimate complaints leveled against the game.
That's the only complaint I had.
The rest of them were kind of, well, and there was some other stuff, certainly. We don't ever want to represent that it was a totally flawless game.
Right.
Not to anybody who's actually played it and knows that that's not true.
On the PS3, it's quite flawless.
The story so far
has us both intrigued. And, of course, like you said, the facial animations and the character movements.
Ah, it's great, man.
Oh,
the presentation's
like
great.
Love it.
How come nobody's doing this?
I don't know.
If you're making a game and you want to do anything like this, you need to...
Take a look at Uncharted.
You need to play this game and just do what they did.
Yeah.
Like, just forget trying to come up with your own way of doing it and just do what they did. Mm-hmm. Like, sorry, it's fantastic.
It's amazing. Why haven't they done this before? How come they aren't doing it since?
Yeah.
It's just really wonderful.
Well, I'm really glad that you guys had an opportunity.
I love the platforming element.
It's good.
The level
it's good.
Design. It's very Tomb Raider-esque.
It is, and it's not... But it's also not as obtuse. Like, there's an awful lot of...
It's very intuitive.
You have to be intuitive about it because there's a lot of the things that are not grossly obvious. This is definitely like where I have to jump. I mean, some of it is, but a lot of people complained about that. They're like, you just have to kind of know that you need to jump over here and that he's going to do this when it doesn't look
like
you would
do that.
Well,
the vine swings that way. I don't see the thing he's supposed to grab onto. I'm just going to take for granted if I jump, he'll grab it. And he did.
It's,
you know, every time.
It's good. So. I mean, there's a thing later with a Ski-Doo or whatever it is, and then there's like a...
I love running and jumping in that game.
And then there's like some other stuff later with things that naturally, because whatever, there's some...
And I know it's early on, but the bit where you're like hopping across this area with a big waterfall and they come and drive in on this car and start shooting at you, and you blow up the thing in the back of the car and it falls down, you hop across the car before the car falls down.
Oh, yeah.
This is good stuff.
There's some good stuff. Plus,
good
they're like,
stuff.
You know, everybody's pants look really great when they're wet.
Yes, Yeah, Becky made a comment about that.
Of course
she's
she
like,
did,
man.
Come on.
Well, see, that's the
thing.
Pants
I
are
love
great.
That he gets out and he doesn't just drip a little bit. He's really wet.
Yeah, he's totally wet.
Yeah.
That was the thing we were saying, because you posted about, you know, oh, people were like, in your congrats thread, people were saying things
oh,
of
you can't,
like,
you can't play as many games.
You're not
going to
game anymore.
Well, see, what I have to assume is, see, I can't play Uncharted now unless she's there to watch it, because she wants to see what happens next. So
yeah,
I have to assume
that
that's what they're talking about. I can't play as much because she wants to watch me play.
Here's the thing. Here's the way around that.
And that's
the
same problem.
Save games.
Yeah. Oh, no, I haven't played past this at all.
Right.
Separate save games.
How'd you know exactly where that guy was?
No, playing games is not a problem. And yes, we'll be at PAX. So there you go.
Oh, good. And congratulations again.
Yeah, I'm glad that whole thing happened. And everything was perfectly fine with that. I'm glad that's over with. You're married. So you're married. You're married. You're married. I ain't getting married.
I'm not whatever, you're common law married, man.
I am close enough. That's what I'm saying. Like, in effect, like, we may as well be. So what's the point in going through all the rigmarole?
Finding somebody with a right color pen to sign a piece of paper.
Yeah, I ain't doing that. I don't have any patience.
Apparently,
for that.
That's actually a hassle.
Right. If I got to do it, I'll fax something to Scott.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll just sign it, fax it back to
that's
you.
That's fine.
Use the right color. Scott.
So yeah, that was done. That was good. So fortunately, nobody got to dig as deep as they would like to have in their pile this weekend. Not to say we didn't get anything played. Obviously, like I said, I made a special point of checking out the PS3 BioShock demo when I heard all the nasty moaning and groaning about it. And hate to say that that's relatively true. And, you know, to a large degree, it looks like there wasn't a whole lot of news erupting over the weekend, I suppose, in observation of your nuptials.
I did want to.
There was a little bit, though.
I did want to know if anybody went to E for All, and if them and the other guy there had a good time. Like, if you both had fun.
What it like? That's perfectly fine, just because I think it's kind of a cockamamie thing, anyway.
Yeah,
but like
that's.
But we're talking like 15,000 people, so really, what has gaming media turned into? When 15,000 people gets to be derided as like you and the other guy, because it's totally true when you look at the volume of people.
Yeah,
that's
a really good point. Is a small like comparison to the overall big like it's just 15,000.
No, it totally is. It's just that's still like a lot of dudes. It's still it's still like 15,000 people.
It's not even a baseball stadium.
You know, since I was on the show last, I conquered Mega Man 9. Which you remember how much trouble I told you about having. Beating Wily.
Oh, because of his different phases or whatever.
Yeah. And so, of course, I had to start back at the beginning of the castle, go through all the stages again. So I stocked up on 9 lives, 9 energy tanks, bought everything I could. And then I go through, and I managed to make it to Wily with all 9 lives and 9 energy tanks intact. And I completely and utterly annihilated him. And the ending was quite cute. If you're a, if you're a fan of the Mega Man games, it's very very funny. Won't spoil it.
Well, I gotta get that on the 360 here. Oh, I got a phone call though from Ravenlock.
Knows loud headphones.
Great.
All right. Back up so I don't feedback the microphone.
Okay, hey man, you're on the air.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Doing pretty good.
Yeah, we're not too bad. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. I had a few things to say, but first of all, I think a lot of congratulations are in order for a bunch of things. Jeremy. Bravo, welcome to the ranks of the matrimonious.
Thank you, man.
My suggestion to you is, if you haven't done it already, establish different sleeping schedules.
I've been through that once with the kid.
That'll be helpful in getting your gaming done.
Oh, for gaming? No.
Maybe for other reasons as well, but for gaming, certainly.
No, I don't think she wants to be asleep when I play games. She likes watching those.
Oh, well, bravo to you then. That's excellent. And also, congratulations to all you guys on a very successful transition to in-game chat. I listened to the podcast you guys put up last week using Still Alive as the show intro. It was awesome.
I'm glad you caught that.
Much.
I was very happy that you played the whole thing. That was great. Mega Man 9. I maintain my previous opinion about it being kicked in the junk hard.
It is.
I've got 6 of the 8 of them down now, and I'll get through it eventually.
What system are you playing on?
Oh, I got it on the Wii, on the Virtual Console.
Okay, okay.
I was about to say, my wife says the soundtrack to the game is nothing but 4-letter words.
Yeah, if you can hear the music, it's really awesome, but it's hard to hear it over the constant stream.
I think Becky would agree with you. While I was playing that, you know, over constant obscenities being hurled out, she's like, so your mom lets you play this game when you were a kid?
Well, I mean, the great thing is, you know, there's a constant stream of trucker speak coming out of your mouth, but you're grinning the whole time.
Yes,
so it's this kind
absolutely.
Of weird disparity of I'm really happy and really furious at the same time.
I've never been as happy being so pissed off at a game before.
Yes, that is an excellent way to describe it. And I guess Proto Man for download came out on the Wii today. I haven't done that yet, but eventually I'll get to that.
Yeah, yeah.
And the other virtual console, virtual console thing I was happy to hear about was the Cave Story is showing up on the virtual console in the near future.
I have heard.
None of you know what Cave Story is?
No, I don't.
Consult the internet. It's probably one of the best freeware PC games ever made.
I was about to say, can I play it for free on the PC?
You can, and you should. Okay. And then you should buy it on the virtual console because the guy deserves your money.
No, I understand.
Check that out.
Yeah, it's a Metroidvania-style 2D action platformer, and it's just brilliant and joyous.
Sounds right.
I love that stuff.
Anyway.
So, yeah.
On the PC side of things, Well, first of all, I found out just before the show that the Quantum of Solace demo just came out tonight. So
yes.
Did it really?
If anybody wants to play that game.
On what platforms?
PC.
Really?
Just PC.
Just PC.
Yeah, right, just well, the PC demo is out today.
Did you say Klonoa?
What, huh?
What did you say is coming out?
Quantum of Solace, the new Bond game.
Oh, okay.
But the other thing I wanted to bring up, well, I guess two things. Daniel, I completely agree with you. Command & Conquer Renegade was awesome.
Thank you. I'm glad
And it was so ahead of its time, and it fell and died a horrible death, and that was really
unfortunate.
Yeah, I never
understood. Like, I had so much fun with it, and the next thing I know, like, it's completely dead to the world.
Yeah, I don't know. Getting in a tank and shelling an enemy base while, you know, snipers and other things were going around, it was just great. It was wonderful.
And making people die by Tiberium poisoning is pretty much...
Sure,
that's all
right.
I need in life.
Who wouldn't want to do that? But was it one of you guys, and I'm going to get my podcast mixed up, was it one of you who had played and enjoyed Depths of Peril?
I haven't played
The silence says no. Okay, it was another podcast for that, and you guys were the ones who played Dwarf Fortress.
I played and enjoyed Depths of Peril. I'm there, I'm with you, I'm picking it up.
Okay, there's a game out on Steam called Hinterland that you should check out.
I'm already on top of the Hinterlands boat.
Oh,
funny you should say that.
You are a week too late, my friend.
I'm sounding the alarm a day late and a dollar short.
Yeah, I tried not to. I was like, well, I'll let some other sucker pick this up, and I'll wait till they hear what they say, and then it just didn't happen like that.
So. And your resolve completely failed you.
So you know, but
I'm impressed with it. I like it. It's fun. I mean, I don't know if it's $20 worth of fun yet, but Tilted Mill is a pretty good shop, and I think they'll patch it up and support it. So.
Yeah, and I'm not upset for the price point that it's at, and it lacks a little bit of polish, but it, you know, the gameplay is there and it's good, and that's what to me is really important. You know, I can suffer through some polish. I understand, like, playing it for other people, that's going to be a deal breaker. You know, the lack of any kind of tutorial or help in the game.
The UI is ugly and the animations practically don't exist. But
And some people
it's doing something gameplay-wise that very few other games do.
Yeah, but I usually just see games as like a series of numbers and choices.
So for you, the numbers are all in place.
I'm like, hey, this is awesome. I can play with numbers and make it look pretty and kill dudes. And then there we go.
Well, I'm the other guy who enjoys that, so I wanted to make sure you do.
Well, I appreciate you calling in, man.
Of course.
It's always good to hear from you. And keep us in touch with what you're playing and, you know, what you've enjoyed over the week. And
I will do. I will say, because you told me about your experience with it at E3 a year ago, De Blob is really, really good.
That was PAX over a year ago, yeah. I enjoyed playing it.
Yeah, the final release is very solid. It's a very solid platformer. What they've done with the music is really cool. The soundtrack kind of dynamically changes based on your actions as you're going around and painting the world. It's just wholeheartedly recommended. A lot of fun.
Good. Glad you like it. Glad you like it. Well, we'll talk to you later, man. Thanks for calling in.
Yep. Take it easy.
All right. Later.
Bye.
Excuse me. I'm going to be doing that from time to time tonight. But going back to, I wanted to play Brothers in Arms Hell's Highway. I didn't even get a chance. It was laying on the couch. Falling asleep. you know, taking meds and that sort of thing. I did. I did, however, finish up the Max Payne script.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I finished reading that this weekend, so looking forward to checking out that movie on my birthday. Some of the other things that hit the news, I know we were saying news was kind of lax, but not according to news, since we're on the topic of Nintendo here, not according to what they've been doing. The DSi was announced, of course, Thursday when we talked about it last. But now they've got a points issue problem, and they've also got a region lock on the DSi as well.
Well, they finally come up against the issue of not having some sort of overarching account management system for how they manage their transactions.
Right.
Because as I understand it now, the point system as it's used on the Wii and the point system that will be used for the digital distribution of DSi software are not interchangeable. So you can either dump money into a chunk of points available for purchasing stuff on the Wii, or you can do it on the DSi, but you don't have that single account. Like, say if you went on PSN, you could dump money in, spend that either on a PS3 download or on a PSP download. Something like that. It's a really nice feature. It's a really nice thing to have, and a lot of people are, you know, people that have a Wii, people that would like to have a DSi, people that are looking forward to the things that they might be offering.
Well, downloadable games on the DS.
Which is a big deal. That's a really big deal. And if there's no kind of unified payment system there, it's just a greater hassle. If you want people spending money for the digital distribution of things on two separate but very, very closely related platforms, you really should try to tie all that together and make it easier for people to spend money. It's really what it is. If you're making it harder for people to spend money, I don't think they're going to have a hard time not spending it.
They did it on the PlayStation Network through your PSP or your...
Or for the PS3, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So that's obviously how that should work. Nintendo does not agree. So, very sorry for anybody that wants to do both of those things, but it's not going to work very well.
Jeremy, you weren't here for that episode.
I was not.
What do you think about the DSi?
I don't know. I'm not very interested at this particular
moment. I don't think a lot of people are, actually.
Is that like you're not interested in spending the money, or you're not even intellectually interested in it?
Neither at this point. I mean,
really?
there's no without you know any kind of idea of the software library.
Yeah.
That, you know, they're talking about coming out with. Then I don't know.
I think it's fascinating. I think the system is extremely fascinating. I think that it's been this long, the DS has not shown any ability to, or any. There's no indication that it's going to stop printing money.
Yeah.
So why break? I'm not saying entirely, but like, why break so drastically with the formula? Why essentially try so hard to cover ground that the PSP has been covering for years now? Mm-hmm. Ground they've been ignoring completely, refusing to cover. With having the card reader, like, being able to deal more with, like, downloading things over Wi-Fi, things like that. Like, de-emphasizing completely getting rid of the GBA slot.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, These are all very, very weird things. They're obviously going a direction that, you know, adding the cameras, like turning it into more of a,
yeah,
like broadening its base as a multimedia thing. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
It really doesn't, and the timing doesn't seem right either.
No, I don't get any of it.
I'm not.
I don't understand it.
I'm not looking for anything to replace my DS. So,
right. I mean, if it absolutely knocked it out of the park, if it could somehow do everything the DS does, all of this new fancy stuff, not gimp the battery life.
Yeah.
And do it at something less than what they honestly think they need to be charging for it. Like, do it very, very cheaply. Because I think, like you, very few people are actually looking for an upgrade at this point. Mm-hmm. If they could do all of those things, then, okay, like, I would definitely look toward it. But it's got a lot of benefits that I didn't really feel like I needed.
Yeah.
And it's taken away a lot of things that I think everybody agreed they still really liked.
Yeah.
So it seems like a really bad mixture to me. And on top of that, what did we find out today? What have they never done in any of their handheld systems? Region locking. It's going to be region locked. That's magnificent.
I guess to 99% of the population, that doesn't make any difference whatsoever, but yeah.
People who are going to import it from Japan, you know, makes a big difference, though.
Nobody's going to import it from Japan
now. Nobody's going to do it now.
Sorry, but that particular segment of the of the population doesn't exist anymore.
Just to be clear, it's region locked on software specifically
on the software. Yeah, but obviously that's the direction we're going on this system. And that's it seems to me that that's the whole point of buying this particular system. I mean, unless you were sick of that extra 30% overhead of battery life and just didn't need it anymore, you know. I hate getting 26 hours straight out of this battery. It's screwing up my schedule. I've got a weird, you know,
it's an time availability ratio.
I need a battery that only gives me 18 hours. I mean, whatever. I don't know. I'm just saying, if you're not getting it for that particular function, what would you get it for? Unless you didn't have one at all. Is there any indication anywhere, has anybody read, you know, in either official releases or punditry or anything, that is this going to be like a product that's available contiguous with the regular DS, or are we looking at a DS replacement?
From what they said at their press release, and there was a lot of that brought up saying, whoa, is this going to phase out our old DS? And they said, no, we're looking at this as a third console.
Yeah, you know when the last time they said that? When they introduced the Nintendo DS.
Yeah,
this isn't replacing the Game Boy.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
That's called hedging. That's called hedging your bet.
Yeah.
That's like, yeah, we would love to replace the Nintendo DS with the DSi, but we don't know how well it's going to go over.
Right.
So it's going to be our third pillar until we figure out whether it's going to crumble or not.
Yeah. That's really what I was getting at. Like, I understood that they were saying, like, I understood, like, you know, what the suits in the offices were saying. I just didn't quite understand if anybody had read anything additional or if anything had been mined out of the internet. So regardless, like, I'm sure that we're nowhere near an end of DSi news. It's just unfortunate right now that the latest two tidbits have not really been positive.
Yeah.
They're not things that are swinging us back in the other direction, so.
They always handle that stuff really smart, though. Like the, what was it, the Game Boy Micro?
Yeah, Game Boy Micro.
Is that what it's
Micro?
Called? Yeah. That didn't really find its niche or its market, yeah. So it just kind of.
That's because they weren't selling it in vending machines with, like, where you drop the quarters in and twist the thing.
Totally
that's
forget about that.
Electronics of that size and relevance need to be free pack-ins with stuff, not things that I spend $50 on.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break here, and then when we come back, we've got Virodeath waiting on the line, who I believe, Virodeath, who sends us questions all
the
time?
He sends us stuff.
Yeah, so he'll be on the line. We know he won't have, you know, he won't be short of anything to say.
We need to tackle this Deus Ex 3 news, too, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
Go into that as well. So we got lots to talk about when we come back in just a moment here with more of In-Game Chat. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Let's go to the phone lines right now. We've got Virodeath on the line. Hey, Virodeath, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from over in LaPorte, Indiana.
Nice.
I was just in here admiring your Wipeout HD hold music, your prelude to the show. I'm like, wow, I should be playing Wipeout HD right now.
Well, that actually came from N+.
Oh, okay.
Hey, it's close enough.
I had a couple questions for you.
We know. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know. I figured you guys are probably like, man, what the heck? How did we screw this guy up, and why does he keep bugging us?
No, what's your questions?
First question was Sony's released the information about their MMOs being, from what I understand, like a cross-platform compatibility. How did you interpret that as far as, do you see that as like PS3 users and PC users will be able to play, I don't know, just as an example, they come out with one MMO and everybody's lumped in there together? Or how do you see that working out? Or
well, what I read today, I actually read news today that any future MMOs from SOE are going to be console only.
Ah, okay. That so was, not even doing a PC thing.
That was just released. Now, they may, if they integrate, I don't know, if they may have some type of integration plan for PC and console with anything that has previously been released.
Uh-huh.
But I know that from the future on, this was at MTV's multiplayer blog.
Right. That's where I caught the word of that, but I missed the portion where they're saying it was going to be console only.
Yeah, any of their future MMOs from Sony Online Entertainment will be console only.
How do you feel about that as far as how Sony and the PlayStation 3 has kind of hindered the ability for, I don't know if they've made it so developers don't use it, or they seem to be not recommending a keyboard mouse addition to their games. It seems like if you're a PC user, if you've done any kind of PC gaming, that mouse and keyboard, that gives you all sorts of menu options and things that you can access, whereas with the controller, you know, you're limited to your buttons and how much stuff you can get through an interface. You see Sony, you know, kind of pushing the developers towards keyboard and mouse a little bit, or?
I don't see them going anywhere near it, as a matter of fact. I think one of the worst things that you could probably do in trying to make, to bring an MMO to market right now would be cross-platform between a console and the PC. The design philosophies are just so fundamentally different. I completely think that you can do an MMO on the console. I've been looking forward to it, someone doing a strict console-only MMO. Obviously, like you say, if they don't steer you towards mouse keyboard, which I don't think they're going to do, because we really need to be selling towards the lowest common denominator here, which is someone who just picks up, you know, just picks up and handles the controller. And I think that's fine. But I think that any game where they try to make cross-platform accessibility between that and the PC is going to suffer because of that difference.
Well, now, in my opinion, the keyboard and the mouse is nothing more than a controller. It's like going out and buying a third-party PS3 controller that has maybe a couple extra buttons or does something fancy, shaped differently. But it's just a tool for the game interface. Now, take, for example, and I'm, as you already know, a big fan of EverQuest 2. If you tried to take that game and put that on a console with all of the spell lists and the multiple this and that, now take it that game wasn't designed for a console, I understand that, but to have the versatility, how could you, I mean, do you really see that functionality there on a you know, a pad, a controller?
Not at all. Absolutely
no,
not.
No, you couldn't do that.
And that's one of the reasons why I think I actually think it goes a little bit beyond the keyboard. I mean, if you have any familiarity with, if you have any, you know, time on the PC, like we're talking years of playing PC games, and you understand, like, how a game is and can be designed around that many options for interface, control, and input. I totally think that if you're going to do something like that on a console, and I'm going to step in it here a little bit, and there are ways to qualify what I'm going to say. Playing Oblivion, Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion, on the consoles proved to me, and particularly in terms of their interface and everything, it was clumsy, but it proved to me that you can do an enormous level of interface development, everything that you would need to do for an MMO, for a fantasy style, menu based, spell based, skill based, and item and object heavy MMO on the console. You can do it. I think their business was a little bit clumsy, and quite frankly, I think that a lot of that stems from the fact that it was essentially the same user interface across all platforms. But if you took that same idea and specifically focused on how to do that on a console, you could come up with something very complex that's easily navigable with the controller. But I think that
even something where you have so many people, you know, you get in a raid and, you know, you got people trying to toss out multiple spells and stack this, and everybody's got to react within a certain amount of time. You think it is possible to be able to accommodate all of that through a controller pad?
Yes, but I believe that it has to be. I believe that this is one of the reasons that I think spreading yourself thin and focusing on different design philosophies, even different controllers, for what it's worth, it's not going to do you any favors. I think that as long as you start with the idea and say, and I personally think that the 360 is the place to do this. It may not happen because of the fact that not every system has a hard drive. Maybe we're getting past that. I don't know. But I believe that if somebody sat down and said, I want to make an MMO on the 360, I want to make it accessible only to the 360, we recognize the live service as being broad enough and has penetrated the market enough and is usable enough for people to get into this, and that we can create an MMO infrastructure there. I believe you can make something. I don't think you can make it nearly as complex as World of Warcraft or EverQuest or something like that, things whose complexity is there because they're on the PC, and it's always going to be on the PC. But I think you could do probably like 75% of that level of complexity, but you have to know where you're going to end before you ever start. You have to know that you're working for a very limited set of controls. Don't even think about keyboard. Don't even think about mouse. Just do it with the console controller and know that that's where you're going to be. Maybe include the doofy little chat pad or something like that if you want to. But like, you absolutely cannot let yourself sort of drift out. I mean, where were we 2 years ago? We were being told consistently, no, Age of Conan, it's going to work great. You know, it's totally coming out on 360. Like, you know, the Conan MMO, it's going to be working on
right,
those
right.
things. It's going to work fine. And then they totally bottomed out on that. They couldn't figure out how to do it. Like, they couldn't figure out how to get it to work on the console. Well, you shouldn't have ever had that problem, because that's where you should have started.
Right.
These are the things that I think that they're going to suffer from, and I really wonder that we haven't seen something more just very specifically dedicated to these consoles. I don't think you can do it retroactively. You can never move. It's
right,
absurd
right.
to suggest that you could.
And having played Champions Online at PAX, an MMO that appears to be designed around
you
the...
You played it with a 360 controller.
I played it with a 360 controller. It was very clear that was designed around the concept of using a 360 controller. And I have to kind of think that when PC players get a hold of it, they're going to have a lot of the same reaction they do when they get other games that are ported from the console to the PC.
Right.
The interface is just too limited. I could do this on a controller. Well, yeah. because it was designed for
the
360.
Well, and let's be quite honest. They both might be some degree of analog input, but a mouse and an analog stalk,
they
don't
very,
create
very
the same type of thing. So to get usable, comfortable motion and involvement like between the player and the world, I think it works very different between the two. That's why every time I hear somebody saying, oh no, it's totally gonna work great on consoles, but we're developing for both systems, it's like, man, get out of here with that.
It's gonna work for one or the other.
You just get out of here with
and
that
I, which
develop
by
it
I'm
it
very
on
much
console.
Looking forward to Champions Online. It's first MMO I've been excited
about
in a long time.
If they would flush the PC side of it.
not so much the DC Universe.
Not me
personally. Looking forward to that, actually.
That is probably one of the most bizarre concepts of MMOs that I can think of. I mean, I just can't fathom like 1,500 flashes running around like trying to kill the bad guy or something like that. You know, everybody wanting the same guy, so then you have like all these same characters running around. How does that? I mean, how's that going to work?
Oh, my personal opinion is it's not going to work very well at all. But I'm interested to see it. I mean, you know. The closest thing in comparison to City of Heroes, and I had a lot of fun with that up to a certain point. But
right.
I mean, whatever. I
like
it.
Yeah, it was like a novelty, and it just kind of wore off.
No, I think that's an interesting thing. I totally thought we would actually be seeing, you know, a lot of console-centric MMO development. I was wrong. Obviously, I was hoping for some level of money spent in that direction that people aren't willing to dedicate themselves to.
The hardware and everything seems like it's there. I mean, it seems like this generation, they're at that level. They shouldn't be hindered by the hardware just not being able to pump out the graphics or
no
hard drive space. I mean,
well, there are buckets of money to be made on console MMOs.
You know what it is?
First generation MMOs come out on the consoles, they're going to succeed, and a lot of other people are going to want to get in on it.
Here's where we are. You have to teach, and I'm not talking about crossover gamers, people who play PC and console. Console-specific gamers, you have to teach them what they buy with their subscription fee.
Yeah,
they are not
true.
Comfortable with subscription fees. The amount of, and I'm not saying it's like enormous, but there's a lot of belly aching about the 50 bones a year for live, and it's like...
Well, but, you know, the other nice thing about that is when you have subscription fees, and anybody who's been a PC subscriber to an MMO can appreciate this, when you have dedicated servers, like, most of your woes kind of, you know, float out the door.
Yeah.
Right now, the major problem with most console massive anything is the fact that there's server drops. I can't connect to this because I'm trying to create, a modem, direct modem connection or something. It's like, why don't these people just realize that, hey, if you pay like, you know, $5-$10 a month for something, you can have like 99.9% guaranteed connection rate to whatever game you're playing, and all your troubles just magically go away.
And, you know, continuous game updates and development, things like this. There are things that you have to get your head around or get past with a subscription and be willing to be sold on the idea of subscription. A lot of people simply aren't yet, and I think it's a matter of training and exposure. Some people will never get it or never like it, and that's perfectly okay, but I think there are a lot of people who just aren't comfortable with the idea. I know I wasn't, you know, 10 years ago the first time I had to subscribe to an MMO. So.
Well, and I know PlayStation has always been, you know, they've kind of built their scenario on, hey, we're free. You know, you can come play multiplayer with us, and we're free.
they're gonna have to back up on that.
I completely agree, because you know, Sony Online Entertainment is a perfect example. They've been maintaining dedicated servers for a large MMO community for the better part of what, 10, 11 years, and they've pretty much, you know, mastered what needs to take place on a massive online game release as far as server problems. But here, when you look at, you know, these console companies like SOCOM, for example, still having issues with their connectivity.
Yeah,
exactly. Not as much as what it was when it first released, but it's still glitchy. And, you know, I'm just sitting there scratching my head thinking to myself, because I thought I had read, and I might be wrong here, but I thought I read that they were working with Sony and using their servers. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, okay, this should be a no-brainer. Connectivity should be like the last thing you're having a problem with when you don't have a single-player game to be, you know, try to work the bugs out of also. You know, connectivity should be the last, and Sony Online Entertainment should be like the master of this stuff, and it just seems like it should all just fall into place if they start just saying, look, dedicated servers, everybody's woes go away, just do it or whatever.
I know. It's a world I wish we lived in. I'm sad to see that we haven't gone there.
Yeah. Hey, man, I appreciate you calling in.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me.
Send us
more
questions.
Good to talk to you. Keep the email coming. We like talking. All right.
Take it easy, guys.
Yeah, we'll talk to you later.
Yep, bye.
Bye-bye. All right, so we got a few more minutes left here. I'll ask you guys, since you know, is it enough time to talk about...
Yeah.
Okay, go
for
it.
you evidently... You want me to talk about Deus Ex?
Right.
The Deus Ex 3 information.
Yeah, you got
the week reveal that we were given today.
You
have never played any Deus Ex. Shame on you. It's like $5 on Steam, 6 generations of PC hardware ago, so your busted old box will play it just fine. Like, magnificent game. Had some flaws, and, like, really the problem is that they were talking about certain broad strokes of the game's features today, about how it was going to work.
Right.
Something like the original Deus Ex was very, very, very RPG heavy in terms of like skill point allocation and all of these things. It was all about a numbers game. Your success at sneaking around, like picking dudes off from behind, your success at, you know, picking dudes off at any distance from any direction with your weapons. This was all very stat-heavy, very very skill-based thing in terms of point allocation type of skills, not individual shooter skills. And what they're saying now is that that 3 is pretty much going to be abandoning that entirely. That it really is, as far as the shooter gameplay is concerned, it is going to be about your personal skill, your personal FPS skills.
Right.
I despised the second Deus Ex game.
I know that.
I've talked about that before.
Yes.
I thought that there was no reason from the first game to go to where that second game went. We all know why it went there, because they wanted to release it on the console. They didn't want to make 2 separate games. That was a PC game that suffered greatly because they wanted to release it on the Xbox or whatever. Like that's what happened with that game.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no real good reason to go from where we were in Deus Ex to where we were in Invisible War. It wasn't simply the change. Change I can deal with. And this kind of change I don't actually mind. That particular thing I don't mind. Largely because I sort of thought that was a stupid governing factor. There were a lot of times when I was like totally robbed of like a great situation because of number and stat allocation. Like, no, I shot that dude.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you know, my digits weren't high enough in a particular category.
I was wondering if we were going to be on the same page on this.
Yeah,
so
that I actually find to be an extremely good thing. I like that an awful lot, that particular element.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other changes that they're making is that the stealth gameplay isn't it doesn't work in the same way. They're moving to a cover mechanic, which is, you know, thanks for, you know, picking a flavor of the month.
Jumping on that cover bandwagon that I hate so much.
That's, you know, it's not a tactical shooter in that regard, so you don't need it. I don't mind the cover mechanic. I'm kind of fond of it when it works really, really well. But and when it's in the right type of game. I mean, Rainbow Six was the obvious. Hey, this is really, really great. More games should do this. But, like, not, you know, not like every game. I wasn't talking to you. We didn't mean you. So that's not a change I'm really happy about.
Actually, I like that. Although I think I would prefer it if they combined a cover system with, you know, the hiding in the shadows aspect. Yeah. You know, get more cover when you're in the shadows.
Right.
But I absolutely love being sneaky and being able to peek around a corner. I can't imagine not being able to do that.
That's good. Here's the thing. In a straight shooter, mm-hmm. where the cover system is you hiding behind a box or crouching behind a bench, you know, there was always a cover system. It's just a question of, like,
stuff in the environment.
Yeah, it's called, like, hiding behind things. Like, that's kind of how it worked. And this whole notion of a cover system is just a question of integrating that into the smooth gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't really have something that we didn't have before. And if this is not implemented well, all of a sudden it gets in, like, it's, my problem with it is that it could get in the way of the gameplay if it isn't done well. If it's done really, really well, if it's implemented correctly, if it's programmed in a very user-friendly fashion, which a lot of cover systems aren't.
Right.
It could go very badly, and it could become a hindrance instead of a help. Whereas if it wasn't there at all, whatever, I hide behind a box. That's fine. There's sure to be lots of boxes around.
It's first-person shooter.
Yeah.
They live in a world where there are boxes
everywhere. So that's something I'm sort of, like, I'm not categorically opposed to it, but I'm not really excited about it because I've seen it, we've all seen it go wrong several times. We've seen it go right,
okay.
And there doesn't seem to be any sort of, you know, controlling force. It has to do with what they think is a great way to do it, and since people really don't seem to play their games before they ship them to market
anymore,
quite as much as they used to,
yeah.
That's really bad. The health recovery system, also another... Yeah, it's gone beyond fad, and it's simply the automatic health regeneration. This is what we do now. Whatever. Like, I don't know.
In most FPSs, I like that a lot better.
It doesn't... You don't hunt for health packs.
Exactly. But when you're already talking about something that's kind of supposed to be RPG-ish...
Yeah.
Hunting for that stuff makes a lot more sense.
Not only is it RPG-ish, but you're, this isn't like a major spoiler or anything. You're a cyborg.
There you go.
Like, give me like a stat category of like how quickly I can heal, and then just explain it away through the fact that I'm a cyborg. Like, done, fine, I don't care. It's really just the cover mechanic that I'm worried about. And at this point, I am a little bit concerned that it'll have more in common in terms of level design and story design with Invisible War. Rather than Deus Ex.
That's the big thing.
Deus Ex was deep and murky and, like, creepy and weird, and it was awesome. Like, it was it was really
fantastic. If they can channel Deus Ex, the original, in that aspect, I can take everything else.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I'm a lot more positive about the news than I thought it would be. So, I'm really hopeful that anything else we hear about it will be... more of the things that I'm looking forward to, less of the things that I'm apprehensive
Large
about.
Level design, lots of choices, and choices that matter.
Consequences were
a big deal
in Deus Ex.
I'm still out. I don't have an opinion yet.
Really?
I'm on the fence.
Okay.
Until I hear more.
We do need to hear more.
It's real early for me to make
it. Give me a screenshot.
Yeah. That would help.
So there we are.
Yeah. And we still got a few minutes left.
What's coming out this week?
Fracture, that's about it.
Fracture.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's about it. I've got it in my Gamefly queue. I kind of wanted to take it out.
I took it out.
Yeah.
It was in my queue. I've got Silent Hill right now.
Nice. Curious about that.
Still creepy. Hate the combat. There you go. That's my review.
Oh, okay. So you've already gotten it and you played it.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought you had it in queue.
Creepy as always. WTF with the combat.
Right. Yeah. So
there we are.
I'm going to try to play some Brothers in Arms. Over the week and
just flank some guys.
What else was coming out? Oh, Stickball for. I was wondering. What's on arcade this week? I didn't know. So, but there you go.
Yeah, you'll have Stickball this Wednesday. Or not.
If you pre-ordered World of Goo, it comes out. You get your download tonight. Yeah, I got actually my download came early. I'm downloading it as we speak.
Well, good. Go and I'm going to go home and get the Quantum of Solace demo, and hopefully we'll have something to say about that for the Wednesday
show. All right, well, that is it for
the live Monday hour. Thanks for our callers.
Yes, thanks everybody that called in. Don't forget to check us out at ingamechat.net or at colonyofgamers.com. We've got our own little forums over there. So you can
or send us an email at any time at everyone@ingamechat.net.
Please
be glad to see you.
And we'll see you next week. Thanks.
On Wednesday.